Amen. You all can be seated. You already knew that. You already started moving before I even said it. It's good to see you all. Okay. I love having all the kids in this room because they bring a new energy. Like not that y'all didn't have energy before, but let's be honest. Like there is an energy that happens. Like I'm looking over and I'm seeing these little ones as they're worshiping and just dancing. So, here's what I want. All the parents with little ones in the room, do not worry if you feel like they're being a distraction to somebody, if you feel like they're being too loud. You're probably the only one that cares so deeply about that. So just let it go. Let's have some fun this morning. I just want us to like enjoy this time as family worship, because I heard from a dad earlier where he's like, my girls are really excited about joining this morning. So I'm glad y'all are here, okay? And here's what I need. I need participation. I need participation not only from the kids in the room. So kids, can you see me? I see you too. All right, can you see me up here? All right, I need you guys to make sure that all the adults around you, all right, we're going to do this as a test run. All right, I need everybody to raise their hand. Can everybody raise their hand? Everybody. Thank you. Good. So y'all can do it. All right. Now, I'm going to show some pictures of some popsicles up here. All right. Can we bring that up? Thank you. All right. Y'all have had one of these before, and you probably have left that wrapper somewhere where the parents have had to pick it up, and they despise this is like the bane of their existence. But that's not the point. The point is that these little things, right? Everybody's had them, and so the participation is, I'm going to go through some colors, and I want you to tell me which is your favorite. So, for all of you that like red, can you please raise your hand if you like red? That's it? Okay, all right. What about purple, like this grape? The grape's really good. Yeah, there we go. Thank you. All right, lime, this green. What about green? Okay, what about orange? Oh, that's good. You're kidding me. Are you serious? Okay, after probably a couple days, I was going to say a couple weeks, after a couple days in our freezer, this is what our freezer looks like. Like, look at, there is one pink right at the bottom. All right. That's what our freezer looks like. Like, we want this box of popsicles, and my boys would much prefer for those orange popsicles to be removed. Like, just, it's like the perfect separation. Get them out of there, we'll buy them, as long as those things aren't in there, right? And it's an amusing illustration. It gets you to think, like, we want some things removed. But it gets to something that we have felt in this world before. We felt it probably this week, maybe even today. But it's the idea that there are things in this world that we see is wrong, and we simply want them removed, right? It's the idea that there's lying is bad, telling the truth is good. Where talking about somebody poorly and gossiping is bad, but going and encouraging them is really good, making sure that they feel loved. And there's also, it gets a little bit more complicated than that, too. The idea of good and evil isn't as clear-cut. And I think that's why we're able to boil it down between good and evil. And it's also why we want that separated. We want to separate it in the very thought of good and evil in this world. Like, it causes us to have anxiety, and it causes us to ask some really tough questions. My guess is questions that you've asked before, that you've heard, maybe your kids ask. If God is real, why is there so much pain in the world? If God is real, then why would somebody enter into a school and hurt other people? If God is real, why would somebody that I love have a disease that could take their life? We've asked these questions, like you can feel the tension in the room, can't you? We've asked these questions before, in large part because we want them separated. we see God is good, and if God is good, then why is there evil in the world? And that tension is what we're going to tackle today. Now, let me just kind of put a caveat out there that I'm not going to be able to answer those questions for you, okay? But what I will do is I'm going to give us some context as to how we can see God in a world with so much pain and so much hurting, and to see how we can possibly respond according to how Jesus instructs us to. So we're going to dive into Matthew 13. We went into that last week where we talked about the parables. And if you remember, if you were here, and if not, I'm going to kind of give you a quick 15-second maybe recap. A parable is a way that the Jewish rabbis, like Jesus, how they would tell a story. It's a method they would use. It's like an analogy, all right? It's kind of like I will tell you that my son Joshua, who's sitting right here in the front row, like he is, you may have heard me, he's a ball of fire, right? Yeah, he shook his head, yes. He goes, yeah, that's exactly me. But what does that mean that he's an actual ball of fire? No. Does it mean he's not real? No, what it means is you are able to grasp what his personality is like. That when he enters into a room, he's going to light it up. He's also going to blaze his own trail. You get an idea. So that, in large part, is kind of how Jesus would use these parables, is the truth had so much depth to it that he would use a parable to teach it to other people. Okay? So we're going to jump in with another parable. I don't want to waste a whole lot of time. So we're going to jump in to Jesus' words according to Matthew's gospel account. In verse 24, Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up then?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn." So right away, Jesus talks about a parable, and you start to see good and evil in it, right? We definitely see the idea of separation. Even the story that he's telling, the question is, do you want us to go ahead and separate them? Do we want to take the orange popsicles? Do we just want to remove them from the luscious grape and lime and all the cherries? Do we want to do that? And I want you to hold on to the two questions that Jesus poses in this, because they're crucial. They're absolutely pivotal. The two questions that he asks are, who planted the weeds? And do you want me to remove them? Those two questions, I want you to hold on to them, because we're going to dive into them after we hear how Jesus' disciples come to Jesus and they're like, okay, can you kind of explain what just happened here? Because that's a heavy message on a family worship day. Can you explain to me what just happened? And so Jesus dives in. He says, "Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.'" We have questions, Jesus. Can you help to explain those to me? He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man." It's Jesus. "The field is the world, and the good seed stands for people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. As the weeds are pulled and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of the kingdom everything that has caused sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace. There they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever hears, let them hear. So this, again, great message for family worship. But I think what's something you often hear us say, myself and Pastor Scott and Abby, is when we're preaching, we say context matters a ton. Why would this story, the parable, resonate with people who are listening to him? The thousands of people who are listening, why would it resonate? Why would he tell this story? Because if we simply read the passage, I think what happens is we might miss what Jesus is explaining in it and what he wants us to pick up. So we have to understand the context. And I want to give you another little illustration. So you all have or will lose some teeth, right? There will be a time where your parents are going to come up with really creative ways to lose your tooth, especially if they see one dangling. For us, what we did is we took a string, we tied it to the loose tooth, and then we took it and we put it, we tied it to a baseball. brutal. It's not punishment. It wasn't like abuse. some may argue. But we tossed that baseball, and then boom, just hit it, and the tooth goes flying. So yes, it worked, and it was brilliant, and all of it. Yes, Fallon knew about it there, Don. Totally knew about it. But here's the idea, though, right? What if there were some neighbors? It was during the summer, so we would have the windows open. What if some neighbors are walking by the house, and they hear the screaming? Because let's be real, there is 15 minutes of prep time to convince your child that they need this tooth out. There is 15 minutes. So when it happens, like there's energy there, and this neighbor might be walking by, the window's open, and they hear the screeching, and they hear, "Get away from me, it's going to hurt, there's going to be blood." At that point, they may wonder, do we need to call CPS? Do I need to intervene? Do I need to go in? And at that point, I would open the door and I'd be like, can you please come into the house? Let me explain what's happening here, right? Let me give you some context. And I believe that's what Jesus is saying to his disciples is, come into the house. I want to make sure you don't miss what's happening here. Okay, so yes, context matters a ton. And remember that Jesus is teaching about the kingdom of heaven. That's a series, the kingdom of heaven is like. So what he's teaching right now, he wants us to grasp what the kingdom of heaven is like. And he brings up the specific parable about weeds and wheat. All right, and remember I asked you to hold on to two questions. And the first question is what I want to dive into. The first question is, where then did the weeds come from? This, I spent some time like just really diving into my own experience and then hearing from others as well. This question is brilliant, it's challenging, and there's a reason why Jesus includes it. I believe Jesus includes it because he knows how you and I are going to answer this question. We're going to see the enemy as somebody who's wronged us. We're going to see the enemy as somebody who's wronged somebody else. We're going to see the enemy as somebody who may look different, who thinks different, who believes differently. He knows our answer to this question. And so right in the parable, right in the story, it's the first question. Who planted it? Who's the enemy? And Jesus fully understands that our answer to this likely leads to division. And he knows what division does to the kingdom. He knows exactly what that's going to do. In Jude, we read this. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. If we are of the Spirit, if we feel the Spirit, we understand that division will lead to destruction. And in Luke's gospel account, listen to Jesus' words as he's accused of doing the work of the enemy. He says, "But he, knowing their thoughts, and said to them, 'Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls.'" The concept of division is exactly what the enemy uses in order for us to be devoid of the Spirit. It is a tool of the enemy. And Jesus understands that, and he wants us to fully comprehend who is the enemy in this story that he's telling. He says, "The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil." Jesus very likely could have said, The Romans are the evil ones. They're the ones that are plotting to kill me. Or he could have said, the Pharisees, they're the ones that are working hand in hand to make sure that I don't have authority anymore. That's what he could have said, but he doesn't say that, does he? No. He says the enemy is the devil. Too many times we see God's children. We see people who have wronged us. We see people in our family or our neighbors or our coworkers or people that think differently. We see them as the enemy. And what Jesus says right away is don't look at them like that. They're still God's children and God loves them. And for all the students in here and even like the adults too, like it hurts when you get bullied. It hurts when someone talks poorly about you. It hurts when you have an expectation of somebody and they don't meet it and they hurt you. And that's why forgiveness is so important. It's a gift that God gives us. Okay? So that in and of itself is such an important question. And I want to dive into the next question that he asks is, do you want us to go ahead and pull them up? Do you see the weeds? Do you want us to go ahead and remove them? They have no place here. Should we just go ahead and remove them, Jesus? And here again, I think context matters a ton, because when you and I think of weeds, we think of dandelions, right? Or these weeds that are in our gardens, and we can totally spot them from a mile away. The dandelions, like they are eyesores, they're yellow, they're in our nice, luscious green grass. They don't do a whole lot of harm, but they just don't look very nice. And the thing is that what Jesus is talking about is the complete opposite when he's referring to weeds. He's not talking about dandelions. Now, I'm going to butcher the scientific name, so just stay with me, but it's called Lolium, okay? Temulentum. Try and say that. That's a hard word. Temulentum. All right. Lolium temulentum. I'm going to refer to them as darnels. They're called bearded darnels. What they are, right, is they would have some poison to them. And if you consume too much of it, it would harm the person that's eating it, right? Or it would harm the livestock. And that's what he's referring to as weeds. And the interesting part, the brilliance of Jesus in this, is that these weeds would grow right with the wheat. And here's the thing about them, is that if you were to look them up, if you Google it right now, they're referred to as wheat's evil twin. I kid you not. They look just like wheat. And they grow amongst them. So here, who thinks the one on the left is wheat? Raise your hand if you think the one on the left is wheat. Okay? What about the one on the right? Who thinks that's wheat? Okay. The one on the left is. All right. Can we bring up the next picture? All right. What about the one on the left? Do you think that's wheat? All right, one on the right? Yeah, participation. Y'all are good. All right, that's true. The one on the right is. Did you notice what Jesus said? What did Jesus say? Wait until the head sprouted. You can't tell the difference early in their stages. Wait until the head sprouted, and then what do you find? Now you're able to check. Now you're able to do it. Because they just wanted to uproot them. And he understands that the farmers are such a poor judge of what's wheat and what are weeds, that he says, no, do not do that. First off, that's not your job. You're not very good at it. And we're going to leave that to somebody else. Who are we going to leave that to? We're going to leave that to the angels. This is not your job to go ahead and judge, to say, yes, you need to stay and you need to be removed. Could you imagine if the church were the Jesus police? And we were the ones to say, yeah, you can get in and you can't. You don't have to imagine. We've seen it over centuries and centuries. And it has never led to anything good. It's been absolute destruction. And Jesus brings up this point and he says, no. What I want you to do is I want you to recognize what your job is. It is not to remove the weeds. That's somebody else. And I say all that because I think it's easy for us to fall into that. It's easy for us to see the enemy and say they should be removed. What I want to do, though, is I want to bring something to your attention, is that somebody considers you their enemy. If someone considers you their enemy and they say you should be removed, is there going to be anybody left? So the point in what Jesus is making is do not fall into that trap of thinking that you're the one that's going to remove the weeds. That's not your job. This story tells us something about living in a world with two different sides, right? About an enemy and about a farmer. It's not like Satan is in one corner and he's throwing seeds down and you have Jesus in the other corner and he's throwing seeds down. That's not what's happening here. These are all intertwined. And it's shocking because I think when we interact with our enemies, we tend to want to cleanse the field, don't we? We want to pull out the weeds. We want to get rid of them. Maybe we want that out of our church. Maybe we want a nice church full of wheat, no problems, no bad people, no weeds at all. That isn't even possible. We want our country that way. We want to throw out all the weeds. We want our families that way. What do we do when the weeds are choking out all the wheat? Do we want to simply pull them out? And the problem is, there are weeds in our life, and there is some wheat, and it's all mixed, and it's all intertwined. And in the church the same day, and in Jesus' time, it was the same way. They expected the Messiah to come. And when he would come, then the Romans would go ahead and they would be extinguished from the earth. All the harm and everything that they did would just be gone. The weeds would go ahead and be removed. And what Jesus is saying, nope, the kingdom of God is going to be mixed. What is the kingdom of heaven like? It's mixed. Weeds and wheat. And there will be times when the weeds look like it's going to crush out the wheat and it's going to be intertwined and we're going to be tempted to deal with it. But Jesus says, don't do that, because if you do, you're going to wreck it all. So what I want to do as we close, I want to give you three things. I want to give you three takeaways that you can do this week. All right, the first one is we are to judge very slowly. Should we pull up the weeds? No, because you're also going to pull up the wheat. Even the best farmers could not 100% distinguish between the two. He's saying, if you don't have to do this job, don't do it. Just simply relax. Let God do this. He's much better at it. Jesus takes the final judgment out of our hands. This doesn't mean, let me be really clear, this doesn't mean don't have discernment. Don't think that we are to simply surrender our judgment. That's not what he's saying. But remember, we have to remember God's character, which is God is good, God is just. He is loving. He's going to unravel all the roots for us. It's almost as if he's saying, categorizing people good and bad, red and blue, smart and dumb, me versus you will cause more problems than it solves. So here's something that I want you to do, is I want you to enter into it by simply judging slowly. Second thing, I want you to confront yourself first. I want us to confront ourselves first. Jesus had a lot to say about saying that somebody had a speck of dust in their eye while you had a plank. If you look into that, it's almost comical of what he's saying, because it's so large. It's like a telephone pole that's in your eye, and you're able to focus on somebody else that has a speck of dust in theirs. Like, you can't focus on anything if you have that going on in your eye. What he's saying is we need to focus on ourselves. Because if we don't do that, it's easier to see them and what they are doing than looking at ourselves. How often when someone says or does something that hurts you, do you consider that they might not even have thought all about what's going on in the situation, all the context, but all you can see in them is the weed? And if you're a parent, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. Like, I will sit there and I will yell at my kids. I'm like, just calm down. Stop screaming. As I'm raising my voice, you see how crazy that is, right? Like, I'm asking them to lower their energy as I'm raising up the energy. I need to look at myself first and how I'm dealing with the situation. And then finally, I want you to practice acts of kindness. This is really important. This is what Jesus means when he says things like, overcome evil with good. We are to be kind even to those that we consider weeds. We are to love everyone, the wheat and the weeds, so that even some of the weeds might become wheat. Jesus so consistently says that his kingdom is about mercy and not religion. Mercy. It changes the way that we interact. It changes the way that other people see us, that other people see Jesus. If you enter into conflict, I just had this a couple weeks ago. Me and my buddy, who we are always, it's like oil and water. And we both take golf really seriously, okay? And we got into it. And we always typically get into it, but afterwards, I saw him later and I just said, I am so sorry of how I responded. I respect you and I don't want to enter into it anymore like that. If we have conflict, we can deal it with another way. And his response, he's very, very confrontational. And his response to me was, thank you. I had a lot of culpability in that one too. You see, if I were to enter in and see him as a weed, then what would likely happen is I would want him removed, and then there wouldn't be any reconciliation. And you might have something like that in your life. Somebody who's wronged you, somebody who you feel like you're right and they're wrong, and all of that. And what I want you to do is I want you to practice acts of kindness this week. So maybe, maybe one day this week, you practice 3 to 4 acts of kindness that are different than what you would normally do. And just observe. Just observe what the field looks like then. Because of God's kingdom, it doesn't happen by separating the weeds from the wheat. God's kingdom shows up when we overcome evil with good. When we judge very slowly. When we confront ourselves first, and when we practice acts of kindness. These are revolutionary activities in a world full of weeds and wheat. And I want to ask you to embrace the imperfection of a kingdom that God has given us. Understanding that we aren't perfect ourselves, and we have a tough time discerning between weeds and wheat. And I would love for us to understand that this truly is part of God's kingdom. Will you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for an opportunity to live in a field where it isn't perfect. Because, God, when it's not perfect, God, we are able to see you at work. When it's not perfect, we often rely on you. And so, God, as we came here together, God, I prayed that our hearts have changed, that there's somebody that you placed on our heart and our mind, God, where we are able to enter in with a different mindset, God, that we don't just want to remove them, that there's forgiveness, that in some situations that there is reconciliation, God, but we rely on you for discernment. And God, I pray for the strength and the courage to move forward as we enter into this week with that mindset. We love you and we bless you, and it's in your son's name we pray.